engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of the disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Brothers, select from among you 7 reputable men, filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was acceptable to the whole community. So they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our response, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia. Exalt you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Give thanks to the Lord on the harp. With the 10-string lyre, chant his praises. Alleluia, Alleluia. Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. Alleluia, Alleluia. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Christ is risen, who made all things. He has shown mercy on all people. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening, the disciples of Jesus went down to the sea, embarked in a boat, and went across the sea to Capernaum. It had already grown dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea was stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming toward the boat, and they began to be afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at the shore to which they were heading. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had just fed the crowds in this great miracle, and he showed himself once again to be the Lord of heaven and earth, the King of all nature, as he walked on the sea and brought them immediately to the shore, reminding them that he himself, the one who feeds us, the one who is the bread of life, takes care of all our needs in all our circumstances, calms our fears, and can bring us to the destination of our lives and of all our efforts. Why? Because he is that destination. He is that destination. The purpose for which everything was made is Jesus Christ. And that is why our service to one another, our feeding the hungry in union with Christ, our service to God's people, whatever form it may take, is always in the context of discipleship. It's not just a humanitarian effort. It's a ministry. It's not just about service. It's about a theology of service, understanding service in Christ Jesus, that it is He who is the servant of all, who gives His life as a ransom for many, and then ministers in us and through us to serve others just as He did, feeding the poor, tending to the sick and healing them, meeting people's need not only for physical food, but for meaning and truth and values and spirituality, but that all this service is meant to lead us to Christ. It's not disconnected from Him. It's a vertical, not just horizontal. That brings us then to consider the first reading here. This is the establishment of the deacons of the church. And first of all, we should realize here we are now in the sixth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, which is our first reading throughout the Easter season. And what we begin to see, as we saw at the beginning of Acts, you know, this thrust of energy of proclaiming the gospel flowing from the resurrection of Christ and the energy of these apostles to bring that good news to others, causes the number of those who believed and were baptized to rise, thousands coming even in a single day to accept the Lord Jesus. And now we see the community is starting to grow, and it, as with any community, any human community, the more people that join it, the more organized you have to be. You've got to come together and answer certain questions that arise, fulfill certain needs, resolve certain disputes, divide the labor, have different people in charge of different things. There's got to be organization. There's got to be coordination. The fact that this community of faith is built on the Word of God, on the resurrection of Christ, on the outpouring of the Spirit, doesn't mean that then they don't need a measure of human organization to help them exist and function day to day. They need a lot of human organization. I had somebody tell me once, and I'm sure you've heard it too, there's man-made rules in the church, and therefore it's a man-made church, and I don't believe in it. Well, that person is pretty misguided, because it just so happens Jesus became human. And when He calls us into the church, we don't lose our humanity, and therefore we don't lose the need to organize ourselves and to make certain rules and regulations. If Jesus establishes His community of the church and gives certain people in the church authority to organize things. You see here the apostles, the 12, are the ones here gathering together and making these decisions in the presence of the whole community. It's not in some kind of secret knowledge. It's transparent. But if Jesus gives to people the authority in the community, well, then of course there are going to be, quote, man-made rules. But that's by God's design. Doesn't mean it's a man-made church. It means it's a church of men and women, is what it means, divinely established, but of men and women. So there's divine law, and then there's, you know, the human organizing of things. And yet here we also see the establishment of something that Jesus Himself wills in His church, the deacons. And the word deacon, and Stephen, of course, is mentioned here, and in the readings coming up on Monday, we'll hear more about Stephen, is the first deacon. And these men are called for service, the word deacon meaning service. And service comes, again, on the level of meeting the physical needs of people, but also their spiritual needs. And so deacons in the church today are servants in charity of the needs of God's people. They are in the world as well as in the clerical state. And most deacons are married, they have families, they have secular jobs as well as the job of their ministry. And so they're a special bridge there between the ministerial life of the church and the day-to-day lives of the people that we all serve. But the background of the need that arose here was that in the synagogue there was a custom of weekly and daily delivery of food. There were people in the synagogue appointed to go to the markets and gather up some goods and then bring them to the poor and the needy, both in terms of food and also in terms of money. So there was a daily distribution, and then as well as a weekly distribution. And what happened was that there were two groups of Jewish people, the Palestinian Jews spoke Aramaic, and they had always been in Palestine. But then there were the Jews that had been gone away from Palestine for a long time. They were in other surrounding countries and then came back. And these were the Greek-speaking Jews that the reading is referring to. And so there was a complaint here among the Greek-speaking Jews that they were being neglected in this daily food distribution. So the apostles said, no, let's not let this continue like this. Let's appoint more helpers here to get the food out to everyone. And that's what is being discussed here. The ministry of the deacon has evolved, of course, over the centuries. And in our times has been really reasserted in many ways. And I have had the privilege of working closely with deacons and including in the formation of deacons and the training of deacons, and including in the pro-life movement with our effort to serve the deacons under the rubric of Deacons for Life. And I encourage you to spread the word about that as well. And if you are a deacon, to join up with that. But again, it's the service. It's the concept of service. Let us serve the needs of the people, physical and spiritual, starting with the saving of their lives, because no other need is going to be able to be met if the person's life is not preserved. So the pro-life effort remains the fundamental form of service among all other forms of service. You've got to save people's lives. That's the foundation. Then you can talk about making sure that they have all their other needs met. And again, all service rooted in and leading back to Christ Jesus, the person who is the servant of all, the one who is risen from the dead, and the one who served us by setting us free from the kingdom of sin and death. Lord Jesus, make we continue to rejoice in your resurrection and give us the spirit and power of service. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.